Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Sharon Kerr.
Yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care, we love all through the land.
That's right, stay woke out there. It is Cheddar Tuesday. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good night, wherever you're listening from. For all our listeners in the United States, Canada, South Korea, Japan, and many, many other places, welcome in. We have Stephanie Hayes coming on with us today. Her topic is going to be mothers and daughter relationships. But before we get going, let's send prayer to Memphis, to the mothers out there who no longer have their babies, to the families and to the community. You know, this mental imbalance out here that many, many people are going through, we have to work on this. We definitely do. But, you know, what brings a little light here in Los Angeles, the weather was beautiful. We might have some rain tomorrow. And I want to tell all you drivers out there, drive carefully, especially in Los Angeles and surrounding areas. Watch out for the potholes. They're out there. And, you know, this show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, an organization that has skilled advisors and consultants to help you reach your goal in education, higher ed, workshops, training, and we focus on the empowerment of our young minds out here. We have to get out here and do it. So I'd like to say to you that, you know, a mother's beliefs have a powerful influence on her children. Where the mother's faith is strong, the children invariably will develop into admirable adults out there. And you know, I don't know about your mom, but I know my mom always told me the importance of you shine in your own way, win in your own daily endeavors, and develop your life in the way most suitable and natural for you. And on that note, we're going to bring it in until Miss Hayes joins us here. Welcome in. Wake up. Stay alert. More so, stay kind and loving.
Welcome
mother and daughter relationships, when each one, the mother can tell the daughter that, and the daughter can tell the mother that, that is a wonderful feeling. We have Ms. Stephanie Haynes on the line with us, the author of The Healing of the Womb, with us this evening. Stephanie, welcome in. Thank you, thank you. How are you doing?
Good evening, Linda. I'm doing great, and yourself?
Oh, you know me over here. Anytime you're coming in, I get my pads and pencils ready. Take me a little nap because we going to get information from you. Stephanie, thank you. And I love this topic, mother and daughter relationship, because that is the theme of your event that you are having on May 13th. So maybe if you want to tell us about it now or later. But, yeah, great, great, great topic. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, so welcome in, listeners. How's everybody on this Tell It Tuesday? All right, so tonight's topic is going to be on mothers and daughter relationships. Now, as we know, a healthy mother-daughter relationship is one that allows for the closeness and togetherness, but simultaneously for the independence and space. Now, it's caring and loving and fun, and sometimes it can be silly. This changes at every age and every stage from childhood to adulthood. A mother-daughter relationship is whatever you choose to make it. So why are mothers and daughters relationships so complex? You want to answer that, Ms. Linda?
Why are they complex? Because, you know, they're the same apple from the tree. They're just alike. You know, that blood is thick. It rolls down through the veins. So basically, you're tied to the hip there. It's no other relationship like a mother and a daughter. A daughter and a father is a bit different. But that mother, yeah, same blood flowing through those veins, okay? And most of the time, when conflicts arise, it's because you're just looking at the mirror at yourself. So that's what I feel about it. They can be fun. They can be healthy closeness and sometimes crazy. But the mama is the mama.
Right.
If it wasn't the mom, you wouldn't be here.
Right. Yes. So, you know, so mother-daughter relationships are complex. It elicits a special set of emotions reserved only for the mother-daughter couples. Even the healthiest of relationships can be at times fraught with real challenges. So what goes into making a healthy mother-daughter relationship when your daughter grows up? Now, a healthy mother-daughter relationship is one that allows for closeness and togetherness, but simultaneously for independence and space, which is very important. It's caring and loving, and this changes at every age and stage from childhood to adulthood. A mother-daughter relationship is whatever we choose to make it. So with me saying that, a good place to start is by establishing boundaries for the relationship. So what do that mean? Making sure mother and daughter feel safe, comfortable, and satisfied within the relationship. Now, guilt is an useless emotion. Guilt is an emotion that exists in closed and complicated family relationships. It is a difficult and strong emotion that, when understanding better, appears to serve very little purpose. It can sometimes be used to convince people to do or feel or act in ways they themselves do not want to, and it is not a healthy tool in any relationship, no matter what the dynamic may be. Now, when it comes to a mother and daughter, guilt can manifest itself when one or both of the other. Now, when one feels hurt, they may need to bring up past events that are known to make the other feel upset and guilty. This is done to express unresolved hurt, perhaps in an unconscious way, perhaps more directly. Either way, it is not a good or healthy tactic and will only strain the current relationship. And that's why it's so important to heal those childhood wounds, you know, before you go into adulthood. So when one feels hurt, they may need to bring up, okay, I just said that. Now, mothers and daughters can become trapped in this type of relationship struggles. The most effective way to get past the hurt is to be able to talk about it from both sides. Now, with an aim to forgive each other and move on from the past in order to establish a healthy relationship. Once forgiving, you must move on and try not to bring back old issues from the conversation. Be open to having difficult conversations with an aim towards forgiveness. Now, it's very important to be yourself. In healthy mother-daughter relationship, both parties need to take the other for who they are and not engage with trying to change them. Common form of this is when the mother would like her daughter to be more like her. This may be in personality, values, choices, opinions. The mother may try to make the daughter feel guilty for being different and may consistently try to change her. This can lead the daughter to feel that they are often disappointing their mother, often trying to please without success. Now, this can lead to arguments, resentment, and overall an unhealthy relationship. Now, being in the company of someone that's trying to change you isn't fun. The key to this is accepting. The mother needs to accept the perceived differences or faults and focus on the daughter's positive attributes and not those that are perceived as negative. Now, be open to the conflict, because there are going to be some conflicts, right? So there will always be conflicts in the world and conflicts in relationships. That is normal. Conflicts isn't something that you can be ignored. If conflict is ignored, then there will always be tension and unresolved issues. The first step to this is to identify the conflict and the reason for it. Take some time out to do this. Once you identify the conflict, you need to talk about it. It is best for both to engage in a conversation around this conflict, regardless of how it might be to begin. Trying to do some in a positive and respectful way will help keep both sides engaged and not exacerbate the situation further. Now, you're going to allow the sides to present their side of the argument without interrupting. It's important that each person has their say and that the other party listen. Now, I teach a talk and listen technique where the couple, whether it's a mother and daughter couple, man or woman couple, whatever the couple may be, is that when the other person is talking, you're going to be active listening to that person. And then what you're going to do, you're going to repeat, summarize what that person said back to that person. Then that person would do the same to you, will listen to you and summarize back to you what they thought they heard that you said. All right? So try not to bring up unrelated negative events. Try to think of positive experiences that you would like to build on rather than focusing on the negative. Try to end on a positive and agree on ways that you can move forward. Tell each other how much you love each other and what you love about each other. Now, you may need to accept that this may take time, but keep revisiting regularly and don't avoid having the conversation again if it is needed. Now, you may have to agree to disagree. This can be acceptable so long as it is not consistent, used as a guilt tool, and both parties generally accept the differences. I think the most important thing, well, we all have to remember that we cannot change anyone but ourselves and how we respond. Right. And how we respond to whatever's going on. Right.
That's right.
And how we perceive it.
That's right. Right.
So the next thing is spending time together. Now, some mothers and daughters enjoy spending a lot of time together. Some don't. One may want more time and one may want less. The party wanting more may make the other feel guilty for not wanting to spend a lot of time together. Now, the ideal situation is that time together should be happy, positive, and uplifting. If spending less time together achieves that, then overall the relationship would be healthier because you're related. Doesn't mean that you need to spend all your time together. The key is to be mindful of your behavior towards each other and notice how time together impacts on your mood. Now, don't feel guilty about reducing the amount of the time together if it makes the relationship work better. So allow each other to make mistakes because, you know, no one is perfect, right? We all make mistakes. And sometimes we say and do things that we don't, you know, mean to do, but it happens. All right? So it can be hard for a mother to stand back and let the daughter make what they perceive as mistakes only. When you're a mother, can you really understand how hard it is to sit back and let your child to go through, you know, heartaches, pains, but everybody has to go through their growing pains, right? Everybody has to do their human revolution. So in childhood, it is important to guide, lead, and mentor your daughter as they have no foundation to work on. They need to be guided and protected. But part of becoming a grown-up is needing to learn to navigate life challenges independently. The mother must step back to allow her daughter to develop her independence and, most importantly, allow her to make her own mistakes. As humans, we only learn from mistakes that we make. And that's how we grow. Right?
I'm in agreement with that.
Yes. So learning to strike at a balance between offering helpful guidance and intervening at every struggle, it is the challenge. But getting the balance to establish the perfect recipe for a happy and healthy mother-daughter relationship, the goal. Yeah, it is the goal. Because sometimes, you know, it gets hard sometimes, especially if you have not healed those childhood wounds.
Yes. They definitely stick with you.
Yep, it does. So now we're going to talk about what daughter needs from their mother. Excuse me. Yep, so what do they need?
Are you asking me? Or are you getting ready to tell us?
I'm getting ready to tell you, but what you can tell me what daughter needs.
I would say it depends, like you say, the different ages and the different stages require different things. But more so, a daughter needs the attention of her mother, okay? And it depends on the type of relationship that they have. If it's healthy and happy, that's a good way of getting it. But that daughter's going to get that attention no matter what. So I would say the first thing is, well, the first thing is love. If the daughter understands the love and the mother understands how to love, that you have to consider all that too. But it's the attention. The daughter needs attention. She needs to hear those stories. She needs to be guided, you know, and given examples. Hopefully she gets good examples. You know, it depends on the household and how it's running, because if you give a hypothetical, which is not really a negative, but if all she's used to hearing is mom and dad or a mate arguing and fussing, she might grow up thinking that's the way it should be, okay, because that's all she knows. So it's the proper guidance, the stories, setting the examples for that daughter. And their daughter gets good information from the mom. And if there's dad around, most of the time the daughters lean toward their fathers. For some strange reason, that father is sterner than that mother. It's a different type of thing. But the child needs all of that from the both of them. But that mother-daughter thing is serious. I like the one thing they don't need is to try to, the mother to try to make them be who what they want it to be. You know, a lot of mothers live through their children. You know, maybe they might have wanted to be a famous artist or something of that nature. So they push that child in that direction, which is the wrong thing to do. Like you say, they must have their independence. Okay, I'm going to be quiet over here.
Thank you for that. Yes. So what they need is that she needs you to teach her that she is good enough, that you are her biggest support system, to be present and engaged mom, to believe in her, to be a calm mom, and she wants. And she wants you to let her make mistakes and forgive herself. Yeah, so, you know, and so that's very important. So these are 10 things that a girl needs from her mom. Okay. So number one. The thing I would like to instill in my daughter is self-confidence and unconditional love for herself. You know, because sometimes people grow up with a lot of limited beliefs and no, you know, and sometimes they struggle of the constant fight with the self-doubt.
Yes.
You know, so we want our daughters to be able to follow their dreams, because they think they don't have the potential in them to fulfill their ambitions. So we as mothers, we have to encourage them to not to be afraid, to take courage, to be ambitious, to think big, and to think they're deserving and worthy of the things they desire.
Yes.
And they don't have, and not to settle.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a problem with that. I like that, number one, because that, you know, that confidence has to be instilled in you at an early age. I mean, some of us who didn't get it at an early age, eventually it builds and you gain it. But if you got a young lady that was given that confidence in an early age, you got mm-hmm. something to work with there, okay? You got it. And I'm in agreement with you, Stephanie. Yes, they must have that and be told how great they are. Like, I always make the statement, my mom always said, no one is any better than you. But keep in mind, you're no better than anyone else. It's a two-way
right.
street. So she made me arrogant, but she also made me mindful. Okay, it's a two-part
right.
statement there. So when you go in one way,
right.
you have to remember to bring number two with you. Okay, yeah, I had that. My mother
right.
was very good at that.
Yeah, so, and with doing that, it helps the person to be have that strength of believing in herself, right?
Yes.
She will be
yes.
easily believe in what others say about her, but as a mother, you can change the story of her life by brushing off the negative comments.
Yes.
Yeah, so girls usually start getting conscious and obsessed over their body image in their teenage years, right?
Mm.
Or even earlier. That's
yes.
when they start to notice their skin color, their size, their shape, or their nose, or other body features.
Mm.
But mothers can teach her that she is more than her bodily features, and what she is good enough. And when we can teach her, our daughters, to rise above socially things and the spirit standards, then our daughters can focus on the reality of what's really happening within themselves. They're
mm-hmm.
not looking outside for the world to give them the okay. You know, I'm trying to find this word. When you looking for someone to
validate you,
right? That thank you. My mind went blank for a minute. Yes,
that's all. Right.
You don't have to look
at
validation.
Yeah, you've had a full day. You've had a full day,
yes.
And you've been teaching many how to validate themselves. Okay. On their own, so
yeah.
I know the mind's it's validation. You don't need anyone to validate you. And sometimes you get in situations where, you know, in the past and you're talking to people and they always, you don't have to defend yourself. And I have to look at them and say, what make you think I'm defending myself? I'm trying to have some dialogue with you. To let you know what you really dealing with here, okay? So that validation has to come from within. But like I say, some of us are fortunate to get it at an early age, okay? Some of us learn about it, but it's still there. That's part of the basics that they have to take out time. And when I was coming up as a younger, they didn't really talk a lot. They sort of like demonstrated, okay? Because most of the time I wasn't listening anyway, so they just showed me what had to be done, okay? So with that type of attitude as a child, you got a problem. I don't need you to validate me because I validate myself. Okay, now let's move on to phase B. And that comes at an early age. And when you're brought up with that type of confidence and understanding, like I say, nobody's any better than you, but you're no better than anybody. And, to stand for your grounds, you can do anything you put your mind to do, tell you about your greatness. A lot of kids get it, and a lot of children don't. They get just the opposite. I was fortunate enough to get that, if you want to say it, to get that praise, which, and it never moved me, but I was always told that that was my fortune to come that way. So that shapes me as a mature adult at this time. You know, some people see things and they think Oh, you learned that. It came with me in my veins, okay? So let's have some dialogue about it and get it out the way so that we can move forward, as you say. Okay, don't get me started over here on this pulpit. Go on to the next one, Stephanie. You know, we'll be here all night.
Yes. All right, so let's go to number two. She wants you to be her biggest support system.
Yes.
Now, this special bond between a father and a daughter is often talked about. But for a girl, the support a mom can provide is immense. There are many things in life that she can confide in with her mom. A girl goes through a lot of tough stages in life, including teenage, the surge of hormones, pregnancy, delivery, etc. She can go through a lot of emotional turmoil, which she has to face life-challenging events like breakups, divorce, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
Play a role in supporting them through all of these tough phases in life. It is hard enough for a girl or a woman when all of these hormones are raging inside of her, creating mood changes and other symptoms for the misbehavior. Offer support, patience, and understanding. Don't judge or criticize her for making wrong decisions, but let her know that you are always there for her to know no matter what, and she can call you anytime to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why me and my daughters can get along, because I allow them their space, and whatever they go through, you know, whatever they go through, I'm able to talk with them. And then sometimes, you know, they shut down and figure it out themselves, and then once they figure it out themselves, they come back to surface, you know, and that's okay too. But the most important thing is the mom keeping that space open enough and the heart open enough to not judge, to allow them to grow and do their human revolution.
Yes.
Yeah. So women deal with stress differently from men. Women like to talk about their problems, and that's how they find stress relief.
Mm-hmm.
More than men, women can fulfill this need to be heard, as they are natural empaths. So I think no one else can do this role better than mothers, because mothers have lived life a lot ahead of their daughters, and they have seen it all. Mothers know better. It's not a cliche, a phrase, but it's the truth. Now, mothers should be able to make the daughter believe that she can always count on her mom to be there when she needs emotional support, and that's very important. So number three, she needs you to be present and engaged, mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know how hard it is to keep up with the housework and still spend quality time with your kids. But as we know, girls are taught they like to talk about what happened in school and the little troubles they have to face. Now, no matter how busy you are, always try to find time to look in their eyes when they are talking and truly listening. Because let's face it, we are never going to finish our chores and truly get free time to spend with them. You know, the best time I used to talk with my kids, you know, I have them to come in and teach them how to, and then that's when we have our little girl talk, or washing dishes, or cooking dinner together, or teaching them how to cook. So that's a good time to, you know, to find out how their day is. Now, what my daughter does with her children, and I just love this. There's something I never, you know, done, but she does a high and low day. Right. So when they have their dinner, and, you know, at the end of their day, and she said she goes around the dinner table and she asks them, what was your low today? And what was your high?
And so what
it gives her is the opportunity to find out what is going on with her children and how are they feeling, you know. And then, and she has Alexis in the house, you know, this and she has this morning greeting that before they even get up, before they even get up for school, and give this, plays this beautiful song in the morning, and then she tells them how much she loved them, and for them to have a great day.
Okay.
You know, so they wake up and go to bed with love, and I think that is so beautiful.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So.
I love it. Is that Tracy or something? Which one?
Yeah, that's Tracy.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my girl.
Okay.
Huh?
I see you have beautiful daughter.
Yes. They're all beautiful. They'll do well with their children.
I figured, I don't know why, I just saw Tracy doing that. I think they all have their own ways because you did a tremendous job. And it shows, and they make sure that they appreciate the love you gave them because they're still giving it to you. But I just saw Tracy with that. I can see her putting on that music in the morning, okay?
Well, my oldest daughter, too, she wakes up with music, but, you know. She wakes up with the music as well. That's a good. So don't always rush them off saying you're busy when they want to share something. Try to be present. Try to engage. Just take that 1 minute. Because you never know what your child is going through, and if something could be happening at school with them,
and then
when you tell them that they don't have time, when you don't have time for them, then they have to suck that in and go to bed with that problem, opposed to being able to reach out to their parents regarding whatever issue they're going with. So try to be present. Now, if you have to, promise you will listen to their problems when you're done with your work, and make sure to follow through. Don't give them broken promise. Then they won't trust you.
Right.
Okay, so don't do that. All right. Now, they are becoming bigger each day, and each time when you turn them off, it creates an emotional distance between you two.
Right.
So you don't need to do that. Yeah. And always make sure you free yourself up for the events that means a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
And take each of them. If you have more than one daughter on mommy-daughter dates where you get to do special things, they will remember it forever. And then they would pay that with their daughters.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the most important thing is how to balance work and life perfectly as a work-at-home mom.
Mm.
All right? Because sometimes trying to find that balance, especially during COVID now, I have one of my oldest daughter, she works at home, still go, you know, doing school virtually at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked best for her. But and she has a system so she can create that balance between working at home, schooling the kids, you know, all of that. So it's very crucial that they have that balance.
Yes, I'm agreeing, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So number four, she wants you to believe in her.
Okay.
The self-belief that forms in the first 20 years of life are crucial for a human being. And a child is the first 5 years for that bonding to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's carrying that child all the way through to in their 20s, and that's where you setting that ground for them. Because in the 20s, and when they get in their 20s, that's when they find out what they want, right? Or want to become. That should be their first 2 years in college. And then once they get in their 30s, then they're building on what they want and what they're doing. 40, they're preparing for their retirement. In their 50s, they should be having a nice, you know, savings. And then when they get in their 60s, they can retire without any financial issues.
Okay.
Now, if life was that perfect, and for some of us had to go through different, you know, traumatic events in their lives, there was a little setback that some of them weren't able to do certain things in their 20s, in their 30s, and 40s, and 50s. Because when I look at some of my clients, and some of them, you know, in the age 50 and 60, still reading at a third and fifth grade level because of the trauma they have experienced in their lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have them stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So they wasn't able to go to school to learn. So that's why it's so important in elementary and junior high school that you get the lessons.
Oh, yeah.
Math, reading, and science is very important. Because if you really don't get that elementary, junior, high school, when you get to high school, you are lost.
Totally lost.
Because you don't know the basics. Right, because you don't know the basics, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why moms plays a very important part of their children's lives, to be able to, you know, to bridge those gaps, to make sure they stay on point, to make sure they move into the, you know, on their grade level, moving to the next level,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then when you find your child is not growing at the level where they're supposed to be, then that's time for you to investigate. I know for some reason my mind is just going blank. Investigate on what is going on with that child to make sure they don't get lost in the mix.
Yes.
Because we don't want to leave no child behind, right?
No, not one. Not one. No, they have to find many methods and many ways to get to them, but nobody. You know, so they are, that's the babies, okay? People say the children are the future. No, the children are the present, okay? Because they're here right now, going through just as much crap as we going through. And can you imagine? All right? So that means we have to do triple duty to make sure that they can just do the first level of duty and keep that out in mind and pay attention to actually what's happening, you know, so that maybe they'll sit down and listen to a story. Maybe they'll sit down and watch a behavior, you know, because those things stick with you. You might act like you don't care. But when you go into adulthood, it flashes back. You know how to hit that replay button. I know I did. You know, it's But yeah, it's very important. I'm so glad you're on this, you know, then take out time. I hate to see a situation where, you know, you got all type of parents, and parents are busy, parents have different personalities, but when a child wants to talk, take out time and talk with them, because they're telling you something. And most of the time, that child might not return back home to you, and then you're carrying that for the rest of your life, okay? You're carrying it. But you didn't take out time. You didn't have the bylaws. You didn't communicate, or you were angry, or you put them out and you paid them no attention, so they got attention elsewhere and got in a lot of trouble. You understand? It's a lot of stuff out there. I'm so glad. And it is the mother's responsibility. Your dad does another a different way, but it is the mom's responsibility. I had so many mommies I didn't know. I used to call them all aunties. My aunties and my mama, you know, in the South, those aunts raise you in the South.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Aunts raise you. So, you know, by the time you get to be pulled by your pigtails, your ear pinched, and all those stories you hear, you could be a griot anywhere in the world, okay, because they have some stories to tell you, or maybe not coming in story form, but when they would be aware of something, it was the way they let you know that they were aware and guided you, but still let you know you had options. See, that's the most important thing. We can guide the children. We can direct them. But the first word that you said in the beginning of the show, the independence, they must have their independence, you know, and don't try to live your life as a whatever, and daughter to do what you didn't do. Don't do that. That never. They go the opposite way. Pushing that way, they go opposite. So you know, this is good. Okay, don't let me get on the pulpit. Keep going, Stephanie. Keep going.
Okay. So now these beliefs decide the path that we take in life and determine whether we have the courage to follow our passion. Now, whenever she's declared she wants to do something, never discourage her with your own doubts.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
if you express even a shadow of a doubt, she might hesitate to believe in herself.
Mm-hmm.
And when she has a limited belief, she can point out why she might be thinking wrong.
Mm.
Now, limiting beliefs can be changed at any age. But a mom can play a huge role in nipping them in the bud. Often quick to criticize, but never tell them openly about the qualities we like in our children.
Yes.
Now, for a change, telling them, I like how you look after your sister while I wasn't home.
Mm-hmm.
You can handle responsibility well. She will feel so proud and will believe it. And that will truly reflects in the way she sees herself. So always give compliments. Don't always be that person to browbeat your daughter. Always, always talk to her about the qualities you like in her. Number five, she wants you to be a calm mom. A parent anger issues affects children badly. You know, research shows that yelling makes kids aggressive, insecure, develop anxiety, and have low self-esteem.
Mm.
So don't yell at your kids. Angry. It's because difficult for you and your daughter to confide in you when she makes mistakes. So it's very important to work on your anger issues.
Mm.
So if you have a short temple mint, please take it. You know, and if you got to do some self-care, go ahead and do some self-care. Because that's important. Take time out. I remember when I was working when my kids was little, and I used to tell them, give me 30 minutes. You know, I would go upstairs to my room and just hang out for 30 minutes in the bathroom just to depress, just to let go of the day.
Mm.
So when I approach them, I won't be yelling and screaming and, you know, I am present with them. That's very important.
Calmness.
Yes. So number six, she wants you to let her make mistakes and forgive her. That's important. Now, to raise her as an independent girl, you need to stop hovering around her so that she doesn't make mistakes. Let her make her own choices and experiences, success, and fair use, because that's how we learn, right?
That's right. How are you going to find out about it if you don't get in there and get knocked upside the head and realize that's not the way you want to go next time, okay? But you have to decide.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when she makes mistakes, do not condemn her. Instead, pointing out how everyone makes mistakes. And most importantly, teach her to forgive herself. You don't have to take all of your mistakes seriously and be embarrassed about them for a long time. Instead, teach her to take things lightly and laugh at herself for the silly mistakes she had made. Number seven, she needs you to teach her that her body is her own. Now, this lesson is so important for a young girl. Childhood sexual abuse is more common than we think. It is important for young girls to know to differentiate between good touch and bad touch. Because many kids doesn't have an idea when it happens, either because they're young or ignorant. Not only that, they should be taught self-defense strategies in such an unfortunate events take place. This is a must-have conversation between a mom and a daughter. I taught my girls and my granddaughters, you don't sit in men's lap.
No.
You don't do that.
No. That's it.
Sometimes, you know, watch out for the daddies.
Yeah, there too. I'm in the glens.
Yeah, you better watch out for the daddies and the uncles and the brothers.
Especially the uncles.
You know?
And the cousins.
Yeah.
Well, me, I didn't have no problem because if you touched me wrong on my knee, I was going to tell it. And you was going to have to deal. Have some dialogue, okay? I said, those ladies out there, you know, they made it happen. They made it happen, and you're so right. It is important. Your body is your own. You have to tell them to keep your hands off and say no. And when that good touch, bad touch, I like that. I like that statement, good touch, bad touch. I'll be using that with my babies. Good touch, bad touch. Okay? I like that. Yes.
Yeah. And we must talk to them about their private parts in an age-appropriate language, starting from when they are toddlers.
Yes.
You can begin by telling her that her body is her own and no one has the ownership to it except her.
Mm-hmm.
and it's her choice and decision about who should touch her body and who shouldn't. Now, the most important thing is tell her that she should talk to you if she experienced any misbehavior, any sort. All right. And number 8, she needs you to teach her good values and life skills. Now, these are some good values. I hope you guys have been writing this down. And these are some good values to teach your daughter. Number 1, integrity. Very important. Yes. Number 2, yes. Kindness and empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, love yourself and others for hard work. Number 5, gratitude. Number 6, respect to self and others. Number 7, standing for self. Number 8, self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, the importance of financial independence, gender equality, criticism, because that's going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I also want to add in, you know, sometimes women can be very treacherous with each other. And young girls, competition. You know, and sometimes there's mother and daughter competition. There's jealousy.
Yeah.
Especially when a mother wasn't able to live out her life for them. And then the daughter is, then that mother becomes jealous.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, so we got to be mindful of that.
Where did you see competition? You said, was that one that you put there?
Yes, competition. Yes, competition.
I laugh at that part, and I'm not going to hold us because we want to get through this competition. You know, you can tell, you can spot a competitor, right? You know, by their actions, by their look and stuff, and, you know, here they come competing, you know, in my crazier days. I used to tell them, please don't try to compete with me because you're just learning how to put on your lipstick, okay? And right now it's like I don't compete with nobody but myself. So, you know, save your energy. I'm not doing it. I'm enough to compete with, you know, I'll be shooting out. But that is very important, you know, and all of these things that you're saying give me flashbacks and give me a lot of gratitude and a lot of appreciation, you know, because we don't think about it as we're traveling through life. Some things we think about, I think it was on one show, I couldn't understand why sometimes my mother would let me play with my playmates, and sometimes she'd say, play by yourself. I'd have to play by myself. I couldn't have any friends. But what she was teaching me was that standalone leadership, that you go where you want to go. You don't need to hang with the pack, and you don't need to follow the pack. And whatever you need to do, you go do it. So, you flash back on that stuff, and you realize, you know, as you're maturing, what they were really doing. And look look at you standing now like a redwood tree. But that one word you hit on that I put 2 stars by, that when you said the good values and the skills, that integrity is very important. That is the number one. Wow. And it's so hard to, how can I say it, if you don't know really what it is, or if you haven't been taught, or if you don't carry it yourself, you don't recognize when others don't have it. But if you got it, you recognize it, and you get away from it. Okay, integrity is very important. All right, let's get off the pulpit and go on. We got a few minutes here. Go on, Stephanie. But I'm not going to say another word. But I want you to take time to tell us about the event, too, before we go.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we'll be working up to that each show. Because that's going to be a wonderful thing. But, yeah, so let me be quiet. Okay, carry on.
All right. So, life skills that you can teach her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, running at home, teaching her how to pay bills, sewing, money management, doing laundry, communication skills, etiquette, simple home repair skills, problem-solving skills is very important.
Problem-solving, yes.
All right.
You're definitely
so number nine.
Okay.
Number nine, she needs you to help her with emotional ups and downs.
Yes.
You know, especially when the hormone changes, right? The hormone changes at the age of 3, 12, 13, you know, 20, 21. You know, that's when the hormones go through the change, right? And so girls go through a lot of emotional ups and downs. Thanks to their hormones, right?
Yes.
They might not be able to understand why they feel the way they do. It is hard to deal with lots of anger, irritability, mood swings, when they don't know why it's happening to them.
Mm.
You know, and your diet, you know, especially during your teenage years, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, from a young age, it's important to acknowledge her emotions and empathize with her. When she approaches you to talk about something that is bothering her, name those emotions like, are you sad, angry, or are you irritable?
Mm-hmm.
So what she needs is not disciplining, but understanding of her emotions. The connection between you two will help her to talk about it then suffering alone. Now, finally, teach her a mechanism to deal with the emotions on her own and not take it on others.
Right.
Coping mechanism includes doing meditation, taking deep breath, getting engaged in activities. She loves walking in nature and get fresh air. That's very important. And number 10, she wants you to teach her about staying safe in the digital world. The world is getting more technology-oriented, yeah, and it is essential to teach kids about staying safe from the possibility of danger of the internet use.
Yes.
You know, we heard horror stories about deadly online games, cyber bullying, all the time. Now, while it's safe to think it's happening only to others, now that our child can become a victim too, and they have some site, I know, called Backstage, where these young girls get caught up in this human trafficking, trafficking, all of that.
Yeah,
we got to be mindful and protect our young girls.
Definitely.
So
I
here are some.
Okay, no, go on.
All right, so here are some actionable steps to take to help her or your son, you know, for the internet safety. So number one, talk to them openly about the possible danger of the internet and social media use. Update them about the daily online games and ensure they know how to not fall into the trap.
Okay.
Make sure you have set limits on the screen time. Stay disciplined about the balance between the online and the real world. Ask them not to share their private details to strangers on the internet. Teach them they have to have the option to block people they don't know.
Okay.
Ask them not to follow anyone's instructions online without consulting you first.
No, okay.
Teach them how to use social media responsibly. Tell them the life portrayed on social media can be deceiving and fake. And in conclusion, as evidence from the tips what we just talked about, open communication and building a strong connection is key to raise your daughter as your best friend.
Wow. Open communication and build a strong connection. Well, Stephanie, you know, I know, and it's not like these are not things that you have read in the book or studied. I've seen you raise three beautiful daughters and I don't know how many grandkids. So I know you know what you're talking about, and you have done an exceptionally good job. Every time I see anything that you're doing with the family or see the family or see the girls or hear the girl's name, it just brings a smile to my face. So you do know what you're speaking of on there. And before we close out, because we're going to run out here, the event that's titled Mother and Daughter Relationships for your event, and I think that's May 13th. How would one contact you on that? Is it through the website of the organization and your website? Could you just share that with us before we close this evening?
Yes. Actually, I sent you the flyer.
I have it.
Right?
Have it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then they could actually go to our website. It's ncnwviewparkla.org.
Okay, I have that, but I like to talk about it, but I like to hear your voice when you're speaking of it, because then we get the full bang of it, and we'll be speaking about it up until that event, and it's a very nice event, so ladies, get ready, okay? They do not play around, and I think you are the indents chair, so we know it's going to be right top-notch, and first class sailing. So I'll put it out there for you. Where are we going to go next week? What are we about next week?
Oh, you know, we can talk about that, Linda. You know, you know, I would think I would still want to continue this mother and daughter relationship.
I'd like to,
you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, if we got part two, I'd be glad to put it out there because it's very, very vital and very, very important.
Yeah, we can continue with
okay.
Yeah, we can.
And I want to touch on that human trafficking. That's some serious stuff out there. Okay. Please, we'll touch more. Bring us back something on that, because it's definitely happening, and it's happening in a way that, you know, if you're not aware, if you don't know what to pay attention to, you don't know that this young lady is going through that. Okay. So we need to have tricks and awareness traits so that we can, you know, spot it when we see it and do something about it. Okay, I'm focusing in on that. Very, very important. So I don't want to rush it, but I have to rush it. And you know, I always extend your time no matter what, because my fingers are so over here, so I'm getting ready to go soaking in some tea tree, y'all, because whenever you come on, I do a lot of writing, and I hope the listeners are doing the same thing. So give us something to check out if you're with Stephanie Hayes. We love you. We're going to close it down.
Okay. So I wanted to let everybody know the theme of the mothers and daughters. It's a Purple Hat Affair, high tea.
Okay.
And it's going to be held at the Renaissance LAX Hotel, 9620 Airport Boulevard.
Okay.
The tickets are $80.
Okay.
And our keynote speaker is Dr. Marlena Sherman Linton.
Okay, Marlena Sherman. Okay.
Sherman Linton.
Okay.
And the theme is mother-daughter relationships, celebrating the bonds between the mothers and daughters. Now, we're going to have some amazing raffle prizes.
Okay.
Value over $2,000. We're going to have swag bags valued at $75 or more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have a purple hat affair, a purple parade. Of hats.
Is that Is that all the women, or is that the organization, or all the participants have to get in the parade?
It's anybody. It's the participant. It's everybody.
Oh, okay. That sounds like fun.
Anybody wants to join.
Okay.
So it's always a nice event. We're going to have entertainment, vendors.
Okay. Anything that you're a part of and you the chair that you are the events person. So I know it's top notch and a lot of fun and everything you're saying. Okay, raffles and swag bags. And I can tell you one thing, listeners, if you have gotten any gifts from that organization, anything Stephanie heads up, you ain't for a treat. That's all I can tell you. Mm-hmm. I'll be waiting on my little bags, okay? I love receiving my gifts, man. But, yeah, I'm putting it out there. So I just want to say that we appreciate you, Stephanie. You know, you work very hard during the day. Your mind is stretched. Sometimes you say you couldn't, your mind was going with what you do in the day and all the assistance that you give others, showing them the proper way and helping them, you know, get their lives together. That's a lot of energy. So we always extend our appreciation and our gratitude to you for being here for us, okay? And we're going to always be for you. We love you. This is Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Womb. I will be putting out information. We'll be back with part two on mother and daughter relations. Get plenty of tonsils and pads and get you some tea tree, y'all, because your fingers are going to be sore. If you write down the things that she say and keep track of that, it's going to be very, very helpful. That's what we're here to do. We're here to care and share for you, and this is the right person to do it. We love you, Stephanie. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and thank you again. Waking up with Linda Maxine. Thank you, with Linda Maxian and Stephanie Haynes.
Oh, my mama told me, cause she said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She say don't give a say your soul away, cause all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul. I was a pretty young girl once. I had dreams, I had high hopes. Married a man, he stole my heart away. Gave his love, but what a high price it paid. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul. Why was I such a young fool? Thought I'd make history, making babies was the best I could do. Thought I made something could be mine forever. Found out the hard way when can't possess another. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul. I thought I could find a way. See the system, make a deal and have no debt to pay. Take it all, I take it all, had to run away. Leave myself, first, last, and first rate. But all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul. Here I am, I'm waiting for a better day. Second chance, a little luck to come my way. Hope to dream, hope that I can sleep again. Awake in a world with a clear conscience and clean hands. All that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat up a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. All that you have is your soul. Oh, my mama told me, cause she said she learned the hard way. Say she wanna feed the children. She say don't give a say your soul away, cause all that you have is your soul.
The land. We educate, communicate, and
collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.